Boys and girls, this is the first episode in December this year. That's amazing, isn't it? Well, no, not really, because December makes up a 12th of the year, I suppose. But this is the bit before the theme music, so let's run the theme music!
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you!
What's this? What's this?
Well, just me and my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the sharp range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and Merry Christmas. Welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack, and, yeah, that's me. I've got a packed show for you today, so I can't waste too much time at the start. I'll just say this, I've had emails from people, and if I haven't replied, this is my reply. Thanks for your email. I'm really sorry if I haven't replied to everyone. I try to. I can't always stay on top of it because I suffer from an illness known as laziness. And there's no cure for it. Yeah, I've been to see no doctors about it. And I've had a second opinion from another no doctor. But my wife has definitely confirmed it. And when I was a kid, my mum confirmed it on numerous occasions. So it's definitely a condition that I suffer from. And I just hope that you can forgive me for the illness that I suffer. Let's start the show with... Oh, hang on. I completely forgot. And this is really bad because I forgot to mention it in the last episode either. I was on Christmas Clatter. So last year I had Todd from Christmas Clatter on my show. This year he invited me to be on his show. So if you haven't checked it out yet, have a listen to the latest episode of Christmas Clatter. It is fantastic. I really love it, mainly because of Todd's voice. It's just so laid back and relaxed. It's pretty much the opposite of mine, to be honest. So yeah, check it out, because I'm on there. And pretty much we talk about Christmas Carol, Christmas food in the UK. Yeah, just generally we talk about Christmas. It's a good one and I hope you enjoy it. And I want to say thank you to my mate Todd for having me on the show. I really did enjoy it and he was kind enough to have a go at the quiz while we chatted. So maybe in the next episode or the next episode after that, it'll be on my show again doing the quiz. So check out Christmas Clatter. Now it's time for this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
Sometimes patrons at the Tiki Bar, they are surprised to learn that it only takes one drink to get me drunk. The problem is, I can't remember if it's the 13th or the 14th one. Now I know we've talked about Bridget Jones' Diary in the past. It is a story about being single during the Christmas season. It starts during the holidays and it ends during the holidays. And Bridget is shown drinking, eating lint balls, and waiting for the phone to ring. She meets Mark at a Christmas party, wearing his iconic reindeer sweater, and then they wear ugly sweaters together at the next year's Christmas party. It shows how Christmas is about guests enjoying and toasting your terrible cooking, about friends being there for you when you're sad, and about loving and forgiving your family with all of their shortcomings and misbehavior. Yes, it is a big, swoony rom-com for Christmas, but it is also a living example of a "do you hear what I hear" term that exists on both sides of the Atlantic. When Bridget mentions her diary, what is she talking about? For what the Americans call a diary is not the same thing in Britain. In the US, we consider a diary as a personal journal that we record our innermost thoughts and feelings. But for the Brits, a diary is used to record appointments, birthdays, addresses, and phone numbers. In the UK, diaries are fact-based and linked to events of the day. In America, they are more closely associated with thoughts and feelings. The word diary first appeared in English writing in 1581 and it was borrowed from Latin. It is derived from the word diarrheum, which originally meant daily allowance, but later a journal to record one's personal activities, encounters, and appointments. It is used to note the dates and times of future meetings and to jot down details about these encounters. One of the most famous diaries was that of Samuel Pepys. The diary of Samuel Pepys started in 1660 when an Englishman, Samuel Pepys, recorded his daily life for almost 10 years. This time period included some major events like the plague of 1665 and the Great Fire of London in 1666. The diary was later published and historians learned from it what life was like in London in the 17th century. Pepys wrote on details of his everyday life, things like his finances, the time he woke up in the morning, the weather, and what he ate. Now, when you consider the word diary, you recognize that the context of the definition is essentially the same. It is a record that you make of your day. However, in this common definition, it can really mean very different things. A diary may be a blank book in which you record the events of the day, but what you record makes all the difference. For Americans, when we hear diary, we tend to think of a pink, frilly book where a young girl is writing about her feelings for her crush, and she would be embarrassed if he read it. In the UK, diary seems to be more like Samuel Pepys' account, a personal organizer with dates, appointments, contacts, etc. So when a person says he will check his diary, everyone knows what he means. The use of the word diary is mostly the same, but it is different. In the UK diary, you might record what you've eaten for the day, while in the US diary, you would describe the romantic date you were on, your feelings about the person who asked you out, songs or poems you like, a doodle or a drawing, and what you ate at that meal. Which leads to the biggest question of all. Would it have been Bridget Jones' day planner if she were American? Cheers and happy Christmas.
Do you know what? I'm going to have to call you on that one, Bob. Normally, your work is spot on, but I think we use it both ways. We really do. And Bridget Jones's diary, if you read it, it's kind of like what you're talking about. Maybe not so much a journal, but she does it daily and she talks about her feelings and that sort of thing. I've read Bridget Jones's diary. It was all right. Not a massive fan. I don't think I read the second one. Yeah, I mean, I think for us it means two things, because I've got a diary and I just put stuff that's coming up in it. So, you know, events that I've got to prepare for and keep track of, like the gardening work I've been doing. But also people do keep a diary. Like Robin has got, don't you remember when I told you, actually no, that was on Robin and Juno's podcast. I'm not going to go into it. I read Robin's diary. Only a couple of sentences. Well, she was stood there and she was screaming at me. I thought it was funny. It wasn't funny. Let's not talk about that. But anyway, good work, Bob. He'll be back again in a bit. Now let's do this. This is the quiz. Okay, boys and girls, it's your favourite part of the show. If it's not your favourite part of the show, it's a part of the show. I'm going to read you 10 questions. You're going to try and give me 10 answers. We're all going to live happily ever after. Are you ready? Do you know what? I've just realised we never did the interactive bit earlier. What was I thinking? Can this be the interactive bit? Are you ready? Good. Okay, let's start the show. No, let's start the quiz. Goodness me. This is question number one. Which acerbic female American comedian who died on the 4th of September 2014 said, "The one thing women don't want to find in their Christmas stockings on Christmas morning is their husband"? I could think of another thing. Dog poo. They wouldn't want to find that in their stockings, would they? Two things, isn't it? Right. Question number two. Which 2005 book begins, "How does Santa know if you've been good or bad? Does he call or text your mum or dad? Is he watching you both day and night? Does he follow you close and not let you out of his sight? What book is that? There's a clue in there. There's a clue. Question number 3. Which 1988 chart topper begins, "The child is a king, the carolers sing. The old has passed, there's a new beginning." Okay, got that? Of course you haven't. It's a British song. You might know it. Unlikely. This is another tricky one, actually. In which 2021 Christmas film does a young boy named Nicholas, played by Henry Lawful, go on an adventure into the snowy north in search of his father, who is on a quest to discover the fabled village of Elfhelm? Now, I haven't seen that film. I really want to, because it's based on a book that I've read. I can't tell you the name of the book, because it's the name of the film. But anyway, question number... What are we up to? Five. Which Coronation Street character made a surprise return from Peru in the 2021 Christmas Day episode? I would be amazed if anyone out there got that one. Yeah, I don't watch Coronation Street. I'm guessing. Do you know what? I don't even know why I put that question in there. I just thought, you know what? This book, right? I probably put in less than 50% of the questions, because some of them are just so British-centric and some of them are just ridiculously hard. So, yeah, just for a change, I thought, you know what? I'm going to chuck in a really tricky one, okay? Don't get upset, because the next one's really easy. Which literary character is described as being a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner? There you go. See, we turned it around, didn't we? Next one. Who are the two main stars of the original 1949 version of the film A Holiday Affair, which was based on the book Christmas Gift by John D. Weaver? Do you know what? I haven't seen that film, but I'm going to try and make an effort to see it this year. Next one. Although some people have now started to give presents on Christmas Day, on what day are presents traditionally given in Spain? Yeah, tricky one, isn't it? Or not? I don't know. If you'd know it, you're fine, aren't you? This is the next question. Which king's remains are interred in the Cathedral of St. Vitus or Vitus in Prague? Which king is that? Who's buried there or interred? Interred. They put his bones interred. Okay. And this is the last question. In the song The 12 Days of Christmas, what were given on the sixth day? Easy one, that one, isn't it? There you go. Right, let's get on with these answers. Okay, so boys and girls, I've got... If you listened last year, you might remember that I had Adam Kennedy on the show. He recorded a fantastic Christmas album called... I don't know, I'd never listened to it. But he did apparently record this Christmas album, and so he was like begging me and stuff. Oh, can I come on your show? Can I come on your show, please? But talk about my album. And I was like, oh God, I don't really want you to. And he's like, oh, but please. And I was like, okay, you can come on the show. So I got him on the show, and he had a go at the quiz, did really badly, but he wanted to have another go. He's begging me. He's been begging since like May to come on the show. So he's here, groveling to have another go at the quiz. So Adam, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jack. I'm so glad to be here. I know I've been pestering you so much, but like, I just like, oh, I just need this right now in my life. And I love you.
Okay, well, that's something. Question number one. Which acerbic female American comedian who died on the 4th of September 2014 said, "The one thing women don't want to find in their Christmas stockings on Christmas morning is their husband"? Who said that?
Mrs. Claus.
No. Okay. That's what you wrote down. That's what you're going.
Well, I didn't know, so I wrote something. She could be funny.
That was Mrs. meant to be Claus funny. Did you say that was going to be funny?
No, Mrs. Claus can be funny. Because you asked for a stand-up comedian.
It wasn't funny. It was Joan Rivers, kids. It was Joan Rivers.
But... Thinking of not funny.
Okay. Question number two. Which 2005 book begins, "How does Santa know if you're good or bad? Does he call or text your mum or dad? Is he watching you both day and night? Does he follow you close and not let you out of his sight?" What book is that the start of?
That'd be Santa Claus the Creeper.
Okay, this is actually a serious quiz, so if you can actually try and have a... Are you going to have a proper guess, or are you just
yeah, not? Yeah, I'm going to have a proper guess. Okay, this is my proper guess. Pedo Claus.
Right, okay. But this, you know, this is like a family show with only a little bit of swearing in. It's actually the Elf on the Shelf, A Christmas Tradition. It's the little book you get when you buy Elf on the Shelf.
That's silly. That's dumb.
Have you got an Elf on the Shelf, Adam?
No, I'm a grown man.
I can see one on the shelf behind you. Don't listen to this guy, kids. Right, so, you've done really well so far, Adam. You scored nothing. Right, we're up to question number three now. See if you can, actually get one right. Which 1988 chart topper begins, "The child is a king, the carolers sing, the old is past, there's a new beginning"?
That would be the coronation of King Charles.
1988.
Yeah, it sounds about right, because the Queen would have been pretty old at that point. So she would have died back then.
Why did you bother coming on, Adam? To be honest, it wasn't. Actually, it's Mistletoe and Wine by Cliff Richard. Everyone's favourite song in the UK. If you were in the UK, you'd know this. Right, in which 2021 Christmas film does a young boy named Nicholas, played by Henry Lawful, go on an adventure into the snowy north in search of his father, who is on a quest to discover the fabled village of Elfhelm?
That would be Vince Vaughn's Fred Claus.
Okay, no, it wouldn't, actually. It would be A Boy Called Christmas.
What?
Yeah, I read the book, actually. I read the book.
Can you read the book, Adam?
So I can't hear you. Because you're desperately trying to interrupt me. Can you read, Adam?
Yes.
Yeah, well, don't read much. You don't know much, do you, though? You don't know much.
I read third grade level. It's fine.
You've scored nothing out of four. This is actually the worst anyone's ever done so far. So, you proud of yourself?
Well, you're picking bad questions.
This is just what's come up. Okay, right, easy one for you now. Which Coronation Street character made a surprise return from Peru in the 2021 Christmas Day episode? Now, don't tell me you don't watch Coronation Street. The UK's
popular. Of course I do. As every good Canadian and North American, of course I watch Coronation Street. Right. No, I don't watch Coronation Street, but I will guess, and this is the best guess I have, is King Charles II.
No.
But he was coronated.
But if you keep saying King Charles, I'm sure at some point you'll get it right. It's Roy Cropper. How did you not know that?
What? Is that a name?
Roy Cropper.
Is that a haircut? Is that a haircut?
It is actually a haircut as well, but that's by the by. He's a very popular character on Coronation. Right, question number some. Have you scored? You've scored nothing so far.
Yes, nothing.
Which literary character is described as being a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner? There you go, easy one for you.
That would be. Can I get the question one more time?
No, I'm not going to.
Okay, Jack Nicholson.
He's a literary character.
Yeah, well, he was the author in that movie, the Stephen King book.
That's so wrong as well.
Shining. He's literally an author.
I understand what you're saying, Ed, but it was Scrooge.
Well, what was the answer?
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Who the hell's that?
Do you know what? I don't know if you should be on my show, to be honest, Adam. You did this last time. You came on and you embarrassed yourself, and you come on this year and embarrass yourself as well. That one was an easy one, Adam, and you're being a bit silly, to be honest. Who are the two main stars of the original 1949 version of the film A Holiday Affair, which was based on the book Christmas Gift by John D. Weaver?
That was George Wendt and his twin.
I don't know. If you're not going to take it seriously, that was actually Robert Mitchum. Robert Mitchum and Janet Leigh.
Okay. All right. How many do I have left?
Got three left, I think. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm not sure. It might be four.
I can still get as good as I did last time, then.
Probably not, actually. Although some people have now started to give presents on Christmas Day, on what day are presents traditionally given in Spain? What day?
You kind of stumbled through that one, didn't you?
You want to hear it again?
Yeah.
Tough. You're not getting it again. Just answer the question.
King Charles II.
What day? What day?
Charles Day.
It's not... What?
King Charles Day. Charles Day.
Hang on, I'm just looking it up. Wait a second. I'll give you a second answer.
Looking in the book. You actually don't know the answer.
I do know it. I'm just... Ariana Grande. That's the one question. Hold on a second.
Yeah. Look at this. I caught you. You are not... You don't even know these. You're relying on the book.
Epiphany. 12th night. Everyone knew that. 6th of January. Epiphany.
I just had an epiphany. You're not very good at this.
What's your score again?
Zero.
That's one thing, though, Adam. Right? You might be naff at quizzes. You're not very good at reading, but at least you can count up to zero. Right. How are you getting on there? You enjoying yourself, yeah?
No.
Okay, right. This is an easy one. Which king's remains are interred in the Cathedral of St. Vitus in Prague? Easy one.
Well, It's got to be King Charles II if it's about a
right, king. That's it. Do you know what? No, I know you find it funny. I know you like using the Lord's name in vain, or the King's name in vain. We show him a bit of respect on this podcast. It was good King Wenceslas.
So he's your lord.
That's not quite what I meant, but you know what I meant.
Let's cancel the royals.
You're down to your last question. You've got nothing to show for it.
I've got a lot of burst veins in my forehead to show for it.
Right, you want the last one or not bother? Do you want to just go? Just get out the door.
Just give me
I can just cut this off right now.
Give me half the question and I'll answer it, because it'll be the exact same.
Okay, I'll give you nearly all of it. In the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, what were given on the... There you go.
No F's given.
Yeah. Don't disrespect the quiz either. You don't disrespect King Charles. You do not disrespect the quiz. In the song, I will give you the full question. What'd you say to me? What'd you say to me? What'd you say?
It's shit.
What'd you say?
I said, this is the quiz. It's shit. This is the quiz.
You know what, Adam? You've come on my show. You think you're funny, don't you? You think you're funny coming on it. That's, you knew some of these answers. Everyone knows Ebenezer Scrooge. And you come on here and you think it's funny, don't you? Well, it's not funny. You don't come on my show. You're making this complete fool of yourself, trying to make a fool of me. And you think, do you know what? If I could reach into this computer, Adam, I'd get you around a scrawny your neck, right? And I'd just don't talk like that on my show. Do you want this last question or not? What'd you say to me?
You only are able to do this because you have the book. If I had the book, I'd be able to do this, but I don't have the book. You're flipping through the book as if you know the answers, but guess what? You don't. You're relying on
I do know the answers, actually.
Who wrote the book? Who wrote the book? I need the author's name.
Jack Ford. His name's Neil Mather. Or Mather. All right?
I want to get Neil on the phone. Can we get Neil in here?
That's not going to... Just answer. What's the point? What's the point? What are you going to say? Oh, Neil, I don't know any answers to your quiz because I'm not very intelligent and my name's Adam Kennedy and I'm also a very silly person. Is that what you want? I'm not going to waste this time with your antics. I've got a lot of listeners that enjoy this quiz, Adam, and you have made a shambles of it, a mockery. A mockery, that's what you've done to it.
I remember last time I was on your show, shambles came up and it was in a different reference and it was to your show.
Don't you disrespect my show either, Adam. I don't know why I got you on. You're begging me. You're begging me all year long. Please let me come back on the show. I'm going to be a nice boy now. I won't be silly anymore and I'll be really good. And please let me do the quiz because I think I can do well. Well, you can't do well, Adam, can you? You can't do well because you're the worst person on the quiz ever. The answer was, in the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, what were given on the sixth day? It was, hold on a second.
You don't even know that.
I know this one. Six geese a-laying. Thank you. I didn't even look at the back page. Thank you very much. Six geese a-laying. Five gold wings. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Right, and Adam, you scored nothing, and also you've embarrassed yourself. Do you want to tell people about your music?
I don't even know if there's a point at this point, but
no, there's not a point. You've embarrassed yourself.
Yeah. So I'll just say it very quickly. I have comedy Christmas songs. Website's adamkennedy.bandcamp.com.
Oh, sorry. When you say comedy, you find it funny, do you?
I find it funny.
Yeah, well, I'm glad someone does.
This is the Total Christmas Podcast. Listen up, Jackass.
Boys and girls, over the last few episodes, I've had Jackass questions sent in from Travis. He's the one who created my fantastic jingle. Do you want to hear it again? Well, tough. Well, you can if you just rewind it yourself. I'm not doing that for you. You rewind your own podcasts. Where was I? Oh, yes. So, you can imagine that. Imagine if one of you actually did. You know what? I will listen to the intro again. I do like it. Imagine that. What kind of life are you leading? Now, as I was saying, I've had questions sent in from Travis. I've still got one from Travis that I'm keeping on the back burner. I would have answered it today, but Benji Pearson has sent me a question. And I thought I'd answer that just to mix it up a little bit. So here's the question as it was sent in by Benji. Home Alone 1 and 2 have been in my top 5 movies, not just Christmas movies, since I originally saw them in the theatre. Somehow, my children have mistaken the other movies with Home Alone in the title as equal quality to the original. He's put in brackets HA3 and HA4. I think he's missed out HA5, The Holiday Heist. Is that what it's called? Anyway, how do I steer them back on track, as those other movies are clearly not nearly of the same top quality cinematic gold as the first two, with the possible exception of Home Sweet Home Alone? So that's the question. Now, this is a very difficult one, you see, because Corporal punishment, I don't know if it's outlawed in the States. In the UK, you're not allowed to hit your kids. I don't, and I'm not suggesting you hit your kids. So we can't, that's, I'm not suggesting that. That's not an option, okay? Forget I even said it. I wish I hadn't now. That is not a suggestion. This is very difficult. How do you persuade? I would have thought the proof was in the pudding, really. You show them one and two Home Alones, and then they see the others. They're like, what's this trolley compared to that trolley? Why am I watching this? Surely their own judgment should be enough. Clearly it's not. However, Benji, I'm not sure about your judgment. I watched Home Sweet Home Alone. What a pile of crap that was. I'm putting that in the same bundle as all the others. I wanted to like it. I didn't have a problem with the remake idea. I just didn't like it. So the question is, how do I stop you and your children from watching any Home Alone films other than 1 and 2? Do you know, I'm stumped. And that's not like me. Begging. Have you tried begging them? Please don't do it. That's it. Right. What you need to do, tears. We need tears. So this is, it's actually, I figured it out. They're there watching the film, right? You have to set up. Your wife, she's in the kitchen crying her eyes out. You say, kids, I need you to come and see something. You drag your kids into the kitchen. Show them their mother. She's in tears, crying her eyes out, wailing. Wailing would help. Okay, she's really going for it. And you say, do you see what you've done? Do you see what you've done to your mother? Are you proud of yourselves? Your kids are going to hang their heads in shame. And they'll be like, what did we do, Father? And you'll say, you watched Home Alone films that weren't 1 or 2. Why would you do this to your own mother? She keeps crying in the background, okay? She keeps crying. And they'll be like, oh, we're sorry, Mum. Oh, we'll never do it again. And she'll dry her eyes like that. You promised me. And they'll be like, yeah, we promised. And you'll be there going, yeah, you promised. That's it now. You made a promise. You don't break promises in this household. That's it now. And that's it. Sorted. Job's a good one. And if they break their promises, back to the tears. Repeat the tear thing. More tears. I think that's really the only option with this one. I can't see any other method of stopping them from watching those films. Yeah, actually, I'm quite proud of that. Right. Thanks for sending that in, Benji. He's going to be here in the next segment. So let's do the next segment. Boys and girls, as you are well aware, for the last about 12 months, I have been reading out the joke from my Christmas toilet roll joke thing. It's a toilet roll with jokes on it. This episode, I've actually been sent in a joke by Benji Pearson, and he made it up himself, and I think he's very proud of it, and it's not that bad. So I'm going to be telling this one. So are you ready? Who is Santa's favourite modern composer? Danny Elfman. Yeah, Danny Elfman. But you could say it like this. It's Danny Elf, man. Yeah? See? And then he's put, except that Kidnap the Sandy Claus song. Hey! So you get like 2 jokes for the price of 1 there. Thanks for sending that through, Benji. I'm sure my audience absolutely loved it. Boys and girls, if you listened to the last episode, you'd remember that I gave you the opportunity to win 3 more books from the Biblioasis A Ghost Story for Christmas series. These books are really old Christmas stories that have been reprinted with artwork from the artist Seth. They're lovely little books, aren't they, Juno?
Yeah.
Yeah, she thinks they're lovely books. The ones I'm giving away this episode are A Room in a Rectory by Andrew Caldecott, The Captain of the Polestar by Arthur Conan Doyle, and The House by the Poppy Field by Marjorie Bowen. You know, The Captain of the Polestar by Arthur Conan Doyle, I was reliably informed by Benji Pearson that it was read on the Christmas Past podcast. So yeah, if you want to listen to the audio version, you could do that. Or if you win these books, you can read it yourself. So if you want to check out these books, I will be putting a link on the Facebook page, and there'll be a link in the show notes. And yeah, if you don't win, you can buy them if you want. If you don't want to buy them, then I'm not going to force you. But if you want them, congratulations. So I've got my beautiful little assistant here, Juno. Say hello.
Hello.
Juno, do you know how many there is in there? How many names? Last time I only had 2 names in the tin. This time, how many have we got?
16.
Do you know what? That's crazy because I've only got 3 listeners and yet 16 people have applied for these books. Juno's going to give them a swirl around. Yet she's swirling, keep swirling, and then just pick one name out. Am I going to take one out? Got one? Can you read my writing? The winner is Nettie Tebow. I hope I said that right, Nettie. T-E-B-E-A-U. Tebow? No? Tebow? to bear. Well, congratulations, Nettie. Everyone else, thanks for getting involved. Sorry you didn't win. Nettie, by the time you hear this, I will have already emailed you asking for your home address, and the books will probably be on their way as we speak. Hopefully you'll get them in time for Christmas. Juno, thank you so much for your help. Is there anything you want to say to everyone?
Merry Christmas.
Is that it?
And I have a podcast too with my sister, and make sure to listen to it. It's called I'm Not Complain with Robin and Juno.
That was good, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for your help.
That's all right.
Congratulations, Nettie. Now it's time for this.
Yeah, so I'm back. This is Adam Kennedy. I don't know if Jack can even hear me right now, but I've kind of usurped his internet connection. Anyway, I've got like comedy Christmas music. I know he doesn't think it's funny. I think it's funny. I think it's very funny. And it's available at adamkennedy.bandcamp.com. And I got a full album there from a couple years ago. Still good. Oh, yeah. And then a couple songs from last year. Still great. So yeah, find me there, and or don't. I don't really care. Anyway, I guess I'll let Jack take this show over again. But just so you know, the quiz is rigged, and I actually scored a 10 out of 10. All right, bye. Oh yeah, I guess I should add. What's he always say? Okay, boys and girls, now it's time for this.
Thank you, Mr. Bus Driver.
What the hell? Sup, Cork?
Whoa, sup, Ads?
Did you just come from the craft fair?
Yeah, it was dope.
Thanks for the invite.
Maybe I didn't invite you because I was buying you Christmas presents?
That true?
No.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, did you buy anything?
No.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyways, you better frickin' run. I'm pretty sure the craft fair is closing.
You're kidding. I thought it was open till 4.
Yeah. On Saturday it was. On Sunday, it closes like an hour early.
What am I talking to you for? I gotta go!
Run!
I arrived at the Christmas craft fair 1 minute late. Outside the door, the school's volunteer, I began to berate. Let me in, I wanna browse the festive stuff you've got around the lobby, gym, annex, and hall. I also wanna use the short, tiny urinals to feel way tall. Let me in. This is a sin to keep me from the homemade soaps. Not through the snow, but rather you're dashing all my hopes. Let me in. It's such a sin to keep me from the decorations. If you don't, you just might die of sucker punch complications. I really want some homemade chili served by some old people way out in the back. And of course I want a plain white bun that comes with butter in a mini pack for dunking in my Christmas craft fair chili. Yeah, dunking in my Christmas craft fair chili. Well, I just love my Christmas craft fair chili. I only live for Christmas Kraft chili. What makes my day is Christmas Kraft chili. Get out of my way for Christmas Kraft chili. You're between me and my Christmas Kraft chili. I will kill thee for Christmas Kraft chili. Hey, what's this? On your shirt, miss, it looks like it could be a stain. She looks down. I'm gaining ground and run her over like a train. I'm on my way to Christmas Kraft chili. Yes, on my way to Christmas Kraft chili. I can nearly taste that Christmas Kraft chili. I've got a date with Christmas Kraft chili. Oh, can I get a hand stamp? Oh, you're out of ink. Well, I guess I'll just use this pool of red around you. Stamp.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I wish it could be Christmas every day.
Bob's here again, boys and girls, with a great idea on how you can keep the Christmas spirit alive throughout the year. And Bob, have a marshmallow.
Thanks, Jack. This Christmas every day could almost be every Christmas every day. When my oldest son was a baby, we bought him a picture book for Christmas. I remember it was the littlest angel. He received it from us on Christmas Eve, and we wrote a note inside it. There was never an intention to do this every year, but the next year, we got him the Polar Express and wrote another note inside. And this continued every year. And when his brother came, he started getting picture books and notes too. Then when we added a sister, she would also receive a book every Christmas Eve. The books would often reflect their interests or content specific for each one. A book about Santa and his brother, ninjas, football, Legos, dogs. This was never planned, but became a wonderful tradition. We have notes that we have written to the children each year, reflecting our feelings, dreams, and expectations at the time. We could keep these books now, but we will give them back when they have their own children. So when I need a jolt of Christmas spirit, I pull down one of these books and I read it along with the note. It generally will leave me all misty-eyed for past days and happy memories. If you have an idea that you've written up, you transcribe it for Jack, he'll pen it to me, and we'll compose it for all of you next time.
Well, that was just delightful, that one, wasn't it? Felt a little tear in my eye. Great idea, I love that one. Good work, Bob. If you're not listening to Bob's podcast, you should be. It's fantastic. It's festive foreign film fans. And I'll tell you what, we're in December now, so you're probably watching Christmas films, and you're probably thinking, do you know what, I am sick to the back teeth of this Hallmark crud. I'm furious. The amount of films that come up on streaming, and I think, oh, no, I'll enjoy that. Chuck it on. I think, this is a waste of time. This is a waste of 2 hours of my life. I don't want to watch Hallmark films. I don't want to. I won't do it. Occasionally I will, but generally I won't. And when I say Hallmark films, I don't just mean Hallmark films. I mean the really trashy, lightweight Christmas crud. I want something with a bit more substance. You go to festive foreign film fans, that's what you'll find. Foreign films with a little bit more substance. So check it out. It's easy to find, and I know you'll enjoy it. Good work, Bob. Now let's do this. And now, boys and girls, it's this... Skype? What's Skype ringing? I haven't used Skype in years. Skype's still a thing? Hold on, let me just get this. Hello?
Hey, Jack. George Podcast here, inventor of the podcast.
Oh, no. You were here last year. I remember you.
Yeah, bud. Since it's December once again, I took it upon myself to run another focus group to gain some suggestions from real, average, everyday people on how to make your podcast better and more successful. I played the group several of your recent episodes, and I have some of their wonderful insight to share with you. Would you like to hear what they had to say?
Not if it's like it was last year, to be honest. I'm sort of in the middle of something now.
Okay. So in your podcast, you talk a lot about Boxing Day Eve, right?
Yes. Well, I call it Christmas. Some people call it Christmas. Christmas Day.
Sorry. I forgot over there in England, you guys call it Christmas. It's still so weird to me. So one member of our focus group suggested that you do, quote, Christmas, but absolutely everything is Black Pete.
Whoa, no, thank you. That is definitely a no. Can we just move straight along from that one? No.
Yep, that's fair. Another thing with all these wild advent calendars around this year, have you seen these things? Like, there's like tea advent calendars, Lego advent calendars. One member of the focus group would love for you to review his homemade advent calendar, 24 Days of Edible Lube.
Is that actually a thing? Because as your ideas go, George, that's almost a go.
It's not my idea. It's his idea. He made the advent calendar.
And is there a market for that?
There might be, actually. Yeah, that's why I'm giving it to you.
Okay, do you know what? That one, we'll actually put that on the shelf. Maybe we'll come back to that one. What else you got for me?
Yeah. Let's put that on the big board and just see if it sticks. Yeah. Let's do that. Let's do that there, Jack. Another one I got is you know, the 12 days of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, one member of our focus group wants you to find a pear tree with a partridge in it, grab a pear, and eat it on mic, but like the partridge has been repeatedly taking big dumps on it.
No, what?
Why?
It's covered in bird poo. That's what you said. I've got to eat a pear covered in... What?
Yeah.
What? Maybe with the edible lube I can handle. This is not... No, what? Why? What? No. You know, interesting fact, kids, partridges are actually ground-dwelling. They don't go in trees much. And so he probably wouldn't be in a position to poo on the pears. So that's not... Give me something else. Come on. I am open to ideas. I'm always open to ideas.
That's what I appreciate about you. You know, I have a lot of these guys that I call out. Oh, I don't want to do it. Anyway, I always come to you because you always like the ideas. So the focus group said they would love to hear a segment teaching them how to string a Christmas garland out of the neighborhood kids' baby teeth.
No. It's not a great idea generally, but also they're really small kids' baby teeth, and like drilling a hole in them, I can't see. No.
If they're anything like my baby teeth, they already had holes in them.
Oh, I see. Cause eating the sugar and that. Yeah. Well, why am I even, can I just hang up now? Can I go?
I got one last one.
Okay.
Finally. Christmas nostalgia is, for the first time ever, huge this year. Can you talk about the things I'm nostalgic for? Like walking to the post office to mail Santa an old-fashioned letter laced with anthrax.
That's not nice, George. Why would you even come up with something like this? What goes on in this point? I'm going. I've got a segment to do. Come back next week if you've actually got something worth talking about. I'm hanging up now. I'm sorry, I'm hanging up.
Oh, I'll be back. I will be back.
Okay, yeah, we'll see. Okay, right, bye.
Bye.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
So, boys and girls, this episode's version of A Christmas Carol, I have a special guest on. This is your third time, isn't it, Ed?
It's at least my third time.
At least. Well, it's not your fourth. It's, yeah.
Well, I appeared on more than other episodes because you gave me the quiz. But the last time I was on... I was very sick, and I sounded awful.
I thought you sounded great. It was just and you looked great as well. So Ed suggested a few, most of which I'd already covered because he's an avid listener. maybe he thought I didn't do a good enough job when I covered them in the past. But now we're doing... Yeah, do you want to tell him, or am I going to tell him?
Well, I suggested a few, and then you agreed to this one. And so... There are different versions of A Christmas Carol that some are straight up retellings of the story. There are ones like Scrooged, which are the modern update of it. And then this is like the sitcom version where they just take a sprinkling of the framework of the ghosts and really take it in different directions. And this one is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, a very sunny Christmas.
Yeah, this is possibly the loosest adaptation I've done in a long time, if not the loosest. So just a bit of background. It was shown first off. It's interesting because it was between series 5 and series 6. It's like a Christmas special. So it's twice as long as your average episode. And it debuted on FX on December the 16th, 2010. But you could buy it on DVD. I don't know if it was separate or if it was part of the season 5 box set, but you could buy it in the November the year before in 2009.
Yeah, at the time I purchased it as a DVD.
Oh, you did? Like
there was some sort of promotional thing. Hey, we're doing this only for DVD, and at the time I didn't really use my brain to know that it would be on television the following year.
Oh, so it was just the one episode on a DVD.
It was a one-off. Yeah, you buy the 1 hour.
Cash grab, isn't it?
Goodness, of course it was.
40 minutes on one DVD. There was anything else interesting on the DVD, or was that it?
Like behind the scenes stuff, you know,
okay.
How they made the claymation and how they did like the action scene with the snow at the end.
Right. Well, we'll get to that, obviously. So if you're not familiar with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, it's a sitcom about four friends that run a bar in Philadelphia. And they've also got Danny DeVito in it. He joined in, like, I think it was like episode 5 or 6 of the first series.
It was, maybe it was the end of the first series, but I thought it was to start the second one.
Whatever.
But yeah, it was a small show. I can remember. I only noticed it because they started advertising heavily. Hey, Danny DeVito's on this sitcom, and then I realized that wasn't the first episode. That they did a big promotion once Danny DeVito was on there.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah, I for some reason I thought he turned up in like one episode and then maybe came back and he was a constant member. I don't know. Who cares? Okay, if you watch it, you probably love it. I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think I've recommended it as part of one of my recommendations at the end of an episode. It's up to series 16 now. It's been going all that time. Longer than 16 years, actually, because this was 2010. It was when series 6 started. So since then, they've had another 10 series in 13 years. So yeah, so we're looking at, goodness me, nearly 20 years. And it's interesting to see how the cast have aged. I've been watching it. We just finished maybe a month ago watching the most recent series. And going back 13 years, it's interesting to see how young they all look. But it's great that they're still doing it. We're just going to get straight in to how it goes. Am I going to lead it or are you going to lead it, Ed?
You lead it. You're
lazy,
better at this than me.
Lazy.
You're better at this than me.
Unbelievable. What's the point in coming on my show? I might do the whole thing. I'll just sit in a corner drinking your whiskey then, please.
Okay, then if you want to be lazy, I can do it.
Yeah, I'm going to be lazy, and you're going to do a really bad job of it. Go.
So, if you don't know the show, as you said, like, these are four or five mostly irredeemable people. They're not good people. And Mac and Charlie, they're talking about their Christmas traditions. And Dennis and D, brother and
you know
sister.
Boys and girls, he's reading this. He's actually reading this. Is that up on your screen, isn't it? You're reading that.
No,
yes, you are. I can see your eyes moving left and right. Don't lie to me.
No. I'm actually looking at the teddy bears behind you, but that's fine. So.
Is that true? Tell me the truth. What's going on?
That's true. So. Dennis and D are brother and sister, and their father is Danny DeVito, and they're like, we hate Christmas because he's terrible. He gets the best gifts. He gets what we ask for Christmas, and then he gives it to himself. And so they're miserable by Christmas. And then, sure enough, Danny DeVito shows up with Lamborghini, which is Dennis's dream car, and some Gucci bag or some
bag. No, this is interesting. So he's bought this Lamborghini to piss off Dennis. Language, please, Ed, on my show. And he's bought this designer handbag to annoy his daughter, Dee. And he's stuffed it full of
cheesy puffs and malted.
Cheesy puffs. It's not cheesy puffs. It's cheesy loops and chocolate-covered malted balls. Do you have Maltesers in...
No, I've
never even heard
I've
of
had
Maltesers.
Them over there. I've had them over there. I've not seen them here.
You had those over here, and you went back. You went back to the States when you knew what glories we had in the UK.
Well, I've lived in the US all this time. I've never heard of cheesy loops. I feel like this is all made up.
No, I googled chocolate covered malted balls, and Hershey's make a version of them. They're pretty much Maltesers. If you live in the UK, you know what Maltesers are. If you don't live in the UK, hop on a flight, get yourself in Tesco's, bag of Maltesers. You could eat them on the flight home. Sorted. So, yeah, he's got this bag And he says it's a, have I written it down? Oh yeah. It's a Sergio Giorgini bag, right? Now, this is really interesting.
Oh, so someone's reading now. Someone's
How
reading.
How dare you? How dare you? I read two words, Sergio and Giorgini. You, it's like you're reading a script. You've
I'm not reading anything.
When I said, oh, do you want to lead? You were like, thank God for that. I spent all afternoon writing out a 5-page script so I can do all the talking. Right, back to what I was saying. So anyway, Sergio Giorgini, there was an episode of The English Office, not The US Office, The English Office, with David Brent, right, and his boss. They're both wearing the same jackets, and David Brent's bought his to try and copy his boss. And his boss is like, oh, we've got the same jacket. And David Brent's like, oh, what make is yours? And he says, Armani. And Ricky Gervais goes, oh, expensive. Sergio Giorgini. And points to his jacket. And that's where they got the name from. So there you go, boys and girls. That's
tremendous.
Little, yeah, exactly. Someone did some research, Edward. Right.
Yeah, I did watch it, but I did no research.
No, exactly. I watched it loads of times and did loads of research. Carry on, Edward.
So it essentially, the story splits into two things. One is a Christmas Carol-ish, and one is a B story where Mac and Charlie are exploring their childhood Christmases, and there's some dark origins to where their Christmases celebrations began. But the Christmas Carol thing is Dennis and Dee. Dennis is like, our dad was so horrible, let's use the framework of a Christmas Carol to turn him into a good guy.
Yes, yeah, so and Dee, I'm going to interrupt. Dee makes a point that, because Frank's character is a multimillionaire, and she makes a point that the reason he got all his money was because he screwed over his old business partner, Eugene Hamilton. And Danny DeVito thinks Eugene Hamilton is dead, but Dennis knows that he's not.
Right. You have this all written down. If you'd like to read your...
It's in my brain. I've got notes. That's all. Don't you give me that. Would you come on my show?
So...
embarrassing yourself.
So they're like, okay... So we're going to get Eugene, and the first, it's, I don't know, it's like a setup, it's not a prank, I don't know what you call it, but they want to create the Ghost of Christmas Past.
Do you know, I never, ever should have even bothered inviting you on the show, Edward. You've missed out so much. So, first off, they go and see Eugene, but Eugene's already forgiven Frank, and he doesn't want to get any revenge on him, because Eugene has found Jesus Christ.
He's found the Lord, yeah.
He's found the Lord, the peace of the Lord, he keeps saying. And he's not blooming a Ghost of Christmas Past, he is the Jacob Marley character. And this is a great scene, because they've got like a smoke machine, and they're putting it under Frank's door of his apartment.
And they make him wear chains. He's like, do I have to wear chains? They're like, yes, it's for the whole thing. And he's like, well, when do I get to talk about Jesus? They're like, at the end, we'll talk about it.
Right at the very end. So they've got this smoke machine, they're blasting the smoke under... Were you going to say this bit, or am I saying this bit? Were you going to say
You're doing great with
Damn
your
right
notes.
I am. So he's got the smoke coming under the door, and Frank stands up and flips out. He's like, oh my God, the place is on fire. And he like thinks he's choking to death, so he throws a chair through the window, and the window smashes, and then the door opens, and Eugene, his old business partner, comes in, and Frank grabs a golf club.
He's
like swinging it, trying to...
he hits him with it.
I don't think he'd quite hits him. I think sort of Eugene is like backing off a bit, and that's when Dee and Dennis come running in and going, okay, he's alive, he's not a ghost. And the jig is up from the get-go, but that doesn't stop him. We need to talk about Eugene.
Played by another Christmas movie. He's the Santa Claus from Santa Claus the Movie, but he's, more importantly, he's the actual Big Lebowski.
He is the Big Lebowski. You didn't say his name. What's the actor's name?
David Huddleston.
Oh, well done. Okay. That wasn't part of the quiz.
So, yeah, Eugene's like just not really going along with the story. He tries to interject Jesus a couple times, and they're like, no, just stop it, Eugene. And then we bounce back and forth. Charlie and Mac have these weird backstories, and we'll leave out of this Christmas Carol discussion. But
no, I want to quickly touch on them, because it does all come together at the end. Mac's backstory is that he used to get the greatest presents when he was a kid. And they go back to his house, his childhood home where his mum lives, and they're going through his cupboard. And one of the presents he wanted was an Omnibot. And I don't know if you remember the Omnibot. Did you remember it? When you saw it, you recognized him, yeah?
Yeah, well, it's not as big, but it's kind of like the thing in Rocky IV that they give to Uncle Polly, the robot that would talk and bring you things.
That's it, yeah. It was like this early 80s robot made by Tomy, and it was on wheels, and it had like a little dome head, and it would carry, it could carry stuff. It came with a remote control, and if you lost the remote control, you were knackered. But it did also have a digital clock on it and a tape player, so you could like record messages in it. And I was looking it up, and they used to cost $250, which would be about $600 now. So it's quite a decent present that he got.
It's a good reason why I never had it. I definitely wanted it as
I wanted
kid,
one as well, yeah. Yeah, but I couldn't.
Chance I was getting that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have remembered it was called an Omnibot, but as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, I remember those, yeah. Anyway.
And then Charlie, so then they, I don't remember when this comes into play. Maybe at that time they show video of Mac and his parents opening presents, and Mac starts screaming that he got a Cabbage Patch doll. And then you see people upstairs like, who's down there? And they're like, oh, time to run. He's like, yeah, that's what you would do. You go to your neighbor's house, you'd open a present, and then you'd run and the next family would come in. And they're like, Charlie, I think you were just stealing from your neighbors. That's what you're doing. And then
Mac,
and then Charlie's like, yeah, what about when the Santas come to your house? And then they go through a childhood memory of Charlie, and they realize that his mom was prostituting herself for presents,
yeah,
for Charlie.
It's really funny because he's talking about the Santas, how the Santas would come around, and it's like flashback, and he opens the door and there's a Santa stood there, and the Santa goes up the stairs. He's like, yeah, you know, the Santas would go upstairs, cheer my mum up, and then the next one would come. Did you spot the second one, Ed?
Did I spot?
It's quite interesting because the Santa's, like, the first one looks like Santa, and their quality of costume and beard just deteriorates. So at the end, it's just a couple of guys stood there.
Was that Christopher Lloyd?
It was Christopher Lloyd. Well done. Yeah, the second Santa, he didn't say a word. He just hands a present to Charlie.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I forgot to look in the credits, but it looked like him.
I don't think he was credited, but it's in the trivia, so it's definitely him. Yeah,
it's pretty good. And yeah, and then the gifts become worse. Like, one guy just hands him a banana.
That's it. Yeah.
And then the elf, the pantsless elf, walks through.
So there's a bit where he sat on the couch with his toys, and this elf comes down the stairs and walks through. But he's like, yeah, so he's Donald Duck in it, as you'd say. So naked from the waist down. And he goes in the kitchen, grabs a beer, comes back out. This guy is called, yeah, I'm reading my blooming notes again. His name is Mark Povinelli. He's credited as being called Tiny, but no one that says his name. He just speaks briefly to young Charlie. Do you know what's funny? Because only like last night, was it? Me and the wife were watching Modern Family again, and he was in an episode of that where an ex-boyfriend of Mitch, if you watch Modern Family, an ex-girlfriend of Mitch, because he had a girlfriend when he was young, she's married a dwarf, and it's the same guy played the dwarf. And also, he voiced the elf in Polar Express, boys and girls. One of the elves in Polar Express, so... There you go. Someone did their research, and his name's not Ed. Right, carry on, Ed. Have we missed?
Okay, so now they try to, Dennis and Dee try to do a Christmas present situation with.
Did you talk about the Christmas past one quickly, where they show the video?
Yeah. Oh, well, they show. Yeah, I see. I don't have notes, so I'm just trying to wing it.
And you shamed me out
of. You shamed me out of reading my notes. yeah. So they show Frank being a horrible father with the Christmas past. They sit him down for the video, and it's the kids opening like presents that are filled with nothing.
Yeah,
and he's
boxes.
Like, you get nothing.
Fake
yeah,
out.
He's
and he's saying, if you want anything, this is the message. You've got to earn it. And then they turn to Eugene after they've all watched the video, and they're like, Eugene, what do you think of this? And Frank's like, what are you talking about? He's the guy that taught me about the fake outs. So because Eugene was like a real bad guy before in the early days when he worked with Frank. Yeah.
Right.
And
so
then we go to Christmas present, the highlight.
Christmas present. They go to his old real estate office, I believe real estate.
Yeah, and it's called Rayham Real Estate. And Ray is like half, because it's Frank Reynolds, it's Ray from Reynolds. And Ham is, it's Eugene Hamilton, so it's Rayham Real Estate. But neither of them own it anymore, like Frank sold the business. So he hasn't worked there in years.
And the people who work there, so they want like people of the present to talk about how Frank is a bad person, but they don't even know him. They're like, they have no connection to him.
They've never heard of him.
And they just wanted him to, like, hide in the party to overhear it. And Frank's like, no, you got to sew me up into the couch so I can eavesdrop on them.
What I really like about that is that Eugene is still with him, even though they don't need him. And he's just there. I don't know if he's sleeping on the couch, but he's just there with his eyes closed or resting on the couch. Well, you can sort of see this leather couch and like an impression of a face of someone inside it. And they're trying to get a couple that are chatting at the party to badmouth Frank.
And they're like, come on, just call Frank Reynolds, you know, I don't know if you want to
say arsehole. You can say arsehole.
All right, just call Frank Reynolds an asshole. And they're like, clearly there's a person inside that couch. They're just distracted by the couch. And they're like, just say it. And they're like, fine, he's an asshole. And then Frank just claws his way out of the couch because he's, and you just see a naked, sweaty Danny DeVito roll out of the couch.
It's fantastic.
It's so good.
You got to credit the man for committing to that role of his
no vanity.
He comes out pretty much like Ace Ventura out of the rhino.
Out of the rhino.
In When Nature Calls. And he sort of pulls himself out and he is literally completely naked. And he's just there. And they go, did you hear that? She said you're an asshole. And he's like, I'm just so hot. I'm just so hot. And he just staggers off. And it's not full frontal. What's they call it? Backle. Full, if it's the back. Full reverse.
Well, it could be full frontal. His belly hangs over so you can't see it. But
yeah, in the trivia, it said you can see one of his testicles. But I really paused it, zoomed in. I couldn't see anything, sadly.
But he went for it. This is a man who has had a lot of success in his career, and he still was naked, rolling out of a couch.
It's incredible. This is his greatest role, I think.
Yeah, and so then we cut back to Charlie and Mac, who go to the kid Ricky Falcone, who they stole the Omnibot from many years ago, who Mac stole from, and he tries to apologize.
You know the guy that played, Ricky Falcone has played.
He was in The Wire.
Was he?
It's Schreiber, Pablo Schreiber. He was in season 2 of The Wire.
I didn't know that. See?
He's on that prison show, Orange is the New Black.
Was in that as well, was he?
He's like a bad prison guard there.
Okay, I recognized him from Candy, the recent true crime show on Disney Plus. I say Disney Plus, it might have been on another channel before it went to Disney Plus with, what's the bird that's married to Justin Timberlake?
Oh, Beale? Jessica Beale?
Jessica Beale. With Jessica Beale, where she plays the murderer, and he played her husband in it. He's Liv Schreiber's half brother.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Did you know that?
Yes, I did. And
he didn't get it. Don't believe it.
I think I referred to him as Liev Schreiber's brother as I was introducing him, but yeah.
Nah, I don't think he did.
we'll check the tape.
If he did, I'm going to edit it out, so it doesn't matter.
So anyway, they apologize. He's like, wait, you're apologizing for stealing my Omnibot like 25 years ago or whatever time? And so then they want to make it up to him and get him the hot toy this year.
Yeah, because they're like, what, and you're giving it back? And they're like, well, we're not going to give it back to you because...
Yeah, finders keepers law.
Yeah, that's it, finders keepers.
They're like, that's not a thing. And so they go to the local mall. They're like, we'll go to the toy store and get the hot toy of the year. And they ask the guy, and the guy's like, the hot toy is Redman the Robot, but it's sold out. And Mac flips out, and he talks about, he references some Philadelphia Phillies players. Like, what if that celebrity walked in here? And
do you remember their names? I've written it down. Do you want to know who they were?
Mike Schmidt, yeah. Steve Bedrosian, Von Hayes.
Yeah, well done. Yeah, you remember that, or did you actually write it down? I wrote it down.
No, I remember that because I was following those guys in the 80s as baseball players. Like, I knew who they were.
Okay.
But Mike Schmidt is like a Hall of Famer. He's like a very famous. The other guys, you would only know if you were into baseball in the 80s.
Well, that's what Charlie's saying as they're leaving. He's going, no one's heard of Von Hayes.
Von Hayes had the greatest quote that I can remember in my youth. They were booing him because I think he was having a bad season, overpaid. And he goes, they can boo all they want. I still eat steak every night.
Good man.
So then while they're in the mall and they're getting like kind of escorted out of the store because they're flipping out and there's no Redman the Robot for them, Charlie spots the mall Santa and he has flashbacks to what his mom was doing with the Santas that were visiting and cheering her up.
What does he say to the Santa, Edward?
Are we working this blue here?
I don't know. I did use the F word the episode before. You want to say it? I could look at it, the look on his
face. I would love to, but this is Christmas.
He's desperate to say it. He just wants to use the F word. Make him feel like a big boy. Go on, Edward, say it.
I'm going to let you.
Go on, Edward. You're a big boy, are you, Edward?
I can't. I'm staring at two giant teddy bears behind you. I can't use that word.
Don't talk about the teddy, but do you want to tilt it? You get a better view of them. Look, they're both there. There you go. Oh, another microphone.
They're beautiful. They're sweet and innocent. I can't. But he asked the Santa very bluntly if he was a Santa that went upstairs with his mom.
Yeah.
And then he bites the Santa's neck.
Over and over. Interesting fact here. When Always Sunny was originally shown, it was shown... Oh, bollocks, I don't know, actually. It was shown on some channel, but then when it moved to FX, they could have swearing on it. So this was, I think, the first episode that had the use of the F word in it. And they use it.
And they go
a lot.
For it.
I think it's like... That's something like 20 odd times or something it's used, which is...
So he attacks Santa and bites his neck.
On your average afternoon at a child's sports game. Sorry, what are you saying?
But then he bites Santa's neck. This is in front of kids waiting to sit on Santa's lap. And there's blood everywhere. Kids are screaming. It's like chaos.
So I like that chaos scene. When I was watching that, I was thinking, I've created mayhem like that numerous times. And no one's running in all directions. Normally people are trying to pull me off. But no, actually, no, Max is trying to pull him off, isn't he? Like, drag him away. But everyone else is just running in all directions.
You've drawn blood in front of children?
Yeah, but only by biting a Santa on the neck. Or the Easter Bunny. You know, I'm not choosy. I'll have a go at any of them.
You're an equal opportunity offender.
If they've got a neck and it needs biting, I'm your man.
You go vampire. That's, I get it.
Full vampire.
So now they cut to a graveyard, and you know what this is. Dennis and Dee doing the Ghost of Christmas Future. They take Frank and, oddly enough, Eugene just along for the ride. There's no reason for Eugene to be there. And they make a tombstone. Frank Reynolds, he was a dick of a father.
Yeah, I like that. There's a tiny little pissant gravestone next to his ex-wife's gravestone. Yeah.
Yeah, and once again, Frank kind of repeats, no, you guys have learned nothing. You have to earn what you get. Like, this isn't changing my ways. He's just, like, kind of laughing in their faces, and they're mad. And then Eugene's like, well, I'd like to be taken home. And then Dennis and Dee turn on him. They're like, you were useless the whole time.
Yeah, Frank gets in his Lamborghini and he drives off, and Eugene is just an old man left in a graveyard all on his own, yeah.
And then they go back to the bar, and Charlie gets the call. They're all standing around, just miserable. Charlie gets a call. Frank died. And they go right to the hospital and prepare themselves to see, like, you know, to identify the body. And Frank's
funny.
This is
my favorite bit in the whole episode, right? Is they're all walking down the hall and they're like talking about having to identify his body. And it's sort of, as they walk in the door, Frank's just laying in bed. And he goes, yo! And I just loved his delivery. It couldn't have been any funnier, just the way he said it. Like, he's really happy to see him.
Yeah, but
he
knows,
you know, he knows that he's told them all that he's dead. And he's just like, yo! And it's just, I loved it. That was my favorite part.
And he shows off that he's got a sprained ankle. Not even like, he didn't break anything. He's just got like a ace bandage wrapped around his ankle.
Yeah.
And then he tells them that he was driving in the Lamborghini with the flip up door open, and so he hit a patch of ice. And
it's got the gull wing doors. It's not, are they gull wing? Gull, yeah. Wing? Are they gull wing? Gull wing goes straight up though. These tilt, don't they, on a Lamborghini?
Yeah, I don't know. They like rotate upward. I don't know if that's gull wing, but yeah.
But because Frank's so short, he couldn't close the doors.
He couldn't reach.
Driving along with a door wide open.
And then it cuts to some claimant. He says, like, he saw all white. And then it cuts to what looks like the old Rankin-Bass animation. And there's, like, a Hermie type. I don't think they identify him as that. But he looks just like Hermie from Rudolph. And he starts singing about the Christmas spirit. And then the Always Sunny gang is all around Frank. And they start beating him senseless and, like, ripping off his arm.
Pretty gory, kids, the stuff they do to Frank. Yeah.
And he gets set on fire by the racist California raisins.
I know, I thought that was cool. They, like, double-teamed it. You had Rudolph, plus you also had the Claymation Christmas special. That was pretty
decent. But they were wearing Ku Klux Klan outfits and then set them on fire. And then at the end, you randomly just see the elf's penis for some reason.
This little dingle. That was my second favorite bit.
So he says, oh, I'm like a totally changed man now. And then they're like, all right, Frank, well, we hate you even more now. And they just, like, leave. Yeah. And they're like, let's go to Ricky Falcone's house.
Well, the point is that they sort of realize that for them to have a good Christmas, they have to be their own family and stick together. So this is, it all sort of comes together, how Charlie's realized that his mum was a prostitute. Mac realizes that his dad and mum were stealing the presents. And obviously Dee and Dennis knew that their dad was a git. So then they, like, if we band together, we can have a great Christmas together. And they go to see Ricky Falcone and give him the Christmas spirit and a shirt that Charlie bought at the mall.
That now is covered in blood from the Santa's neck.
Yeah, that's it. But they go outside his door. I like this bit,
And then they go and they just start singing. The four of them go right up to Ricky Falcone's house and they start singing Oh Holy Night. And he opens the window. He's like, it's 4 a.m. And then the whole neighborhood turns on them. And then they offer the blood-covered shirt as an apology. And he's like, just get out of here. And then all the neighbors start throwing glass at them.
But they carry on singing. That's the coolest thing. They're just, like, still singing. Still singing while they're throwing stuff at them. But then they see their car getting towed because Dennis parked in front of a fire hydrant and have to run after the car.
And so they once again return to the bar. and they see that Frank and Eugene have made up and have decorated the bar in its full Christmas spirit, and Frank, like Ebenezer Scrooge at the end, like, has really found the Christmas spirit, and he actually gets the Lamborghini fixed up. It gives the key to Dennis. He says he's going to pay for the dry cleaning for the, was it?
Giorgini
bag, and he's like, for real, he's giving them the gifts. Like,
he's bought Redman the robot
for Mac.
Mac and Charlie, yep.
And they briefly go, should we give this to Ricky Falcone? And they're like, nah, no, we shouldn't. And then they talk about Eugene and Frank have made up, and then Eugene's like, I have a present for you, Frank, and he pulls out a gun and points it at Frank, and then he blasts like a snowmaking machine at the gang.
He takes all the presents, he takes the keys for the Lamborghini, and I should have mentioned the snow blooming machine earlier, because at the start of the show, when they're decorating the bar, Mac and Charlie are, they talk about this snow machine that they've bought, and I wanted to refer to it as Pavlov's snow machine, you know, like Pavlov's gun. If there's a gun in the first act, it's going to be used by the third act, and then this snow machine that we see in the first act, he blasts it at them, and they all get blown across the bar, and to the tune of Silent
Night. And they do
like
a cool slow motion effect where they're sent tumbling by the snow machine. It's hitting them at close range, and then they're left with nothing. And Charlie and Mac get Dee, Dennis, and Frank to join their original tradition of throwing rocks at trains on Christmas, and that's how it ends.
Yeah, and they seem to enjoy throwing rocks at trains. Actually,
it seems like it's satisfying. I've never done it, but seems like it would be kind of satisfying.
Made me want to go and do it, actually. Yeah, the thing is,
make a nice solid sound.
Yeah, I mean, it's a freight train, so no one's getting hurt. They're not smashing any windows on a passenger train. But yeah, they seem to be enjoying themselves thoroughly. It's a Christmas tradition.
So that's it. And then Frank, in other episodes, doesn't seem like a changed man. So it was just, he was changed until the gun was pulled at him.
Yeah,
boys. And that was it.
So what did you think of it, Ed?
I loved it. If you like the show, it's, like you said, it's a very loose Christmas carol. But they do try to do Christmas past, present, future, Jacob Marley, and they try to change someone. So there's an element of that, clearly. But I thought it was fun. It was a kind of a unique take on it.
I'd watched it, God knows how many years ago. I wouldn't have watched it back when it came out. So it's probably in the last sort of 6 or 7 years, maybe. And I didn't remember a single thing about it. But then I had it on, and the wife came in. She's like, oh, I remember this. So she remembered it, but it's like I was watching it for the first time. And I loved it. As someone who loves Christmas and someone who loves It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, it's perfect. Now I want to make sure I watch it every year, because the little segment where they've got the stop-motion animation, like the Rankin Bass bit, is just, well,
it's great.
It's pretty gory, but it's just so festive. I love stop motion animation because that always makes you think of Christmas, especially because it's got Hermie the Elf in it. And also Sam the Snowman makes an appearance briefly, sticking his head around a corner. Yeah.
Right. Since I got roped into buying that DVD way back when, I've watched it every year. And still, when I rewatched it yesterday, I still laughed at the elf visiting Charlie's mom.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's a sauna up there.
That's it. Yeah.
I just think if you like the humor of that show, this is terrific for a Christmas lover.
Yeah, definitely. So I watched it on Netflix. It sounds like you can get the DVD if you want. I'm not sure if it's on Netflix in the States, but
it's definitely. On. I believe it's on Hulu in the States.
Okay, there you go, boys and girls. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. Again, as Christmas carols go, it's very loosely based. But as Christmas specials go, yeah, it's fantastic. Really good. So, Ed has written a fantastic book, which I've talked about numerous times on the show before, and he's going to tell you about it. Go on, Ed.
It's called The Christmas Book, The Ultimate Guide to Your Favorite Holiday. It is, much like this podcast, a celebration of all things Christmas. From traditions around the world, where the origin of the holiday, things like, you know, where did the tree come from, mistletoe, to different versions of A Christmas Carol, like 120 of them, different TV shows, different movies, different songs, the backstories to them. Just like I said, like this podcast, it's just a celebration of everything Christmas, and it's kind of a guidebook to all of these things.
That's it. It's a fantastic book. I love it. And I'll put the link in the show notes and probably something up on Facebook as well. Thanks for coming on, Ed.
Thanks for having me, Jack.
Well, boys and girls, Every episode, I give you a recommendation. Usually it's a podcast. Sometimes it might be a TV show. Sometimes it might be something else, I don't know. But this episode, I'm asking you to give a recommendation to the people you know. Now, we're in December now. It's December, it's Christmas. You don't have to be ashamed of celebrating Christmas when it's December. So please tell all your friends about the podcast. I don't ask this often. I only do it in December. I don't say subscribe. I don't say leave a review. You know, it'd be handy if you did. I'm not asking you to do that. All I'm doing is asking you to tell your friends. If you enjoy this podcast, tell your friends about it, and maybe they'll listen along too. If you're on Facebook, when I put the new episode up on Facebook, all you have to do is share that link with all your friends, and they'll get to see it, and they'll be like, why don't I give it a shot? And then maybe I'll get some more listeners. I don't know. I've got three of you out there. Do I want four listeners? It's more trouble than it's worth, really. But that's all I'm asking. I don't ask much in this life. If you could do that, I'd love you even more than I do already. Also, while I'm here recommending things, I don't plug my stuff that often, but I want to plug my t-shirts. If you want to wear a t-shirt that's got the Total Christmas Podcast on it, there's also one that says, Merry Christmas, you beautiful people, and another one that says, You know I love you, Merry Christmas. There's also another one of a sheep with a humbug in a speech bubble. It's like bar humbug. It's very funny. If you want to get a t-shirt, then you want to go to tpublic.com and search Total Christmas Podcast, or Total Christmas Pod Store, it might be. Anyway, get yourself on there if you want. I'll probably put some links up on Facebook, and there'll be links in the show notes. I'm not taking a penny from this. I created the designs, and I put them up on the Pod Store, and any money that I got from those t-shirts last year went directly to Children in Need, which is a UK-based charity that looks after underprivileged children. This year, I was going to do exactly the same thing. I'm not going to take a penny from the sales from it. So if you do want one of those t-shirts, it's also going for a good cause. And I'll be giving all the money this year to Save the Children, because someone did make a comment last year saying, I don't want to give my money to some charity I've never heard of. Well, I'm guessing you've heard of Save the Children. It's an international charity aiming to save the children. So if you want to give a donation and get a t-shirt, that's an interesting way of doing it. It's not just t-shirts, you can get stickers, mugs, sweatshirts, hoodies. Or can you just get hoodies? I don't know if you can get sweatshirts. You can get stuff on there. Have a look, it's in the show notes. Or don't. It's your money and it's your life. Do what feels right. And that is it for this episode, boys and girls. Now, usually this is the point where I tell you I'll see you in 2 weeks. You know what, kids? I'm going to see you in 1 week. Because that's right, it's December. I've decided I'm going weekly. Yep, crazy but true. So I will be back next Sunday. In the meantime, you get out there, you tell everyone about this crappy podcast. I will do my recording malarkey. And next Sunday, you'll get another brand spanking new episode to help you through this wonderful, wonderful season. So if you want to get in touch, the email is totalchristmaspodcast@gmail.com, or you can go on the website, that's totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'll be back again in 1 week's time. In the meantime, you know I love you, so merry, happy Christmas.
Incidentally, I know how you feel about all this Christmas business, getting depressed and all that. It happens to me every year. I never get what I really want. I always get a lot of stupid toys or a bicycle or clothes or something like that.
What is it you want?
Real estate.